The secondary condition of self and that one hour from life. Secondary deals with the beginnings of the work of Shrivas. The mother recognizes that it's impossible for a person to be self-sufficient to do anything completely out of them. But the halacha has an institution of Shrivas. But sometimes I don't have to do the act myself. I can invent a Shrivas and a messenger and a nation who can do it on my behalf. Say I want to sell my home in Tannersville. I'm not the other home with it. I'm in New York and in New York. So I sent some agent, but I give the agent the authority to sell some idea. The mission here has a situation. The fellow wants to be Kaddish and Isha, wants to get married, but he's so busy making a living, he has no time to go out and pick the girl for himself. Or let's say he has already picked out the girl, and he has no time to go to visit the girl in order to give her the ring and say how he had Mukadesh. But he's in the middle of college anyway, and he's not going to be living, they're not going to live it together for the rest of June anyway, but he just wants to marry the girl now to make sure she doesn't get taken by anybody else. He wants to be in a Kaddisher. He sends a shliach, the girl lives in California. He sends a shliach to California, or somebody who's going to California anyway, and he asks the shliach, he has to send out to give the girl a ring, say how he had Mukadesh. So the Mishaleh, I'm right here, or a jet. But a lot of times people don't get along to the extent that they only want to face each other when they get the jet. So the jet is supposed to be in the weather, but also in the yard, but the husband has to give the jet. So he's now saying directly, they don't want to look at each other. So the husband appoints the shliach, and the shliach gives the jet to the wife. Or the wife appoints the shliach, and the husband gives the jet into the wife, into the hand of the wife shliach. You don't necessarily have to do anything in person. You can do things like the shliach. Probably because some of them do like the shliach. Let's say man has a big mansion, he's going to go and make the Bittas Chama all kinds of stuff, all the 50 rooms, it'll take him all 9 till the morning. But he says to the Lord, everybody goes on there, and then he tells his wife, she should check her family, and his kids should check family, and then show him, they're going to divide the job, and everyone will be part of the job of the Bittas Chama. He's doing a lot of things. Mechira's Chama, we always do like a Shia. We come to Rabbi, and he tells us, Chama can I be here? We do a lot of things like a Shia. We have a mitzvah to tell the non-conversion of the medicine. Every father has a mitzvah to teach his son's father. Every father teaches his son's father. So no, they send the children to the yeshiva, and then the yeshiva teaches the Torah. So that's also a bit of shliach. You have someone else do the mitzvah with the head. We have shalach manas, but you ask the shliach to deliver shalach manas to you. If you deliver it in person, you tell the mitzvah shalach manas in person. If you ask someone else to deliver you, the package of food to you, so that's the true one, it's called the shliach. So this paragraph will be discussing the shliach of the din of shliach. How do you know there's an institution of shliach? When does it apply? When doesn't it apply? You can't depend on the shliach that even under the sun. Take, for example, Chalitza. Chalitza was always a big problem. Chalitza was a halacha of two brothers, and one was married and died with one of the children. So the doing of the almana, the wife of the one who died with that children, was not permitted to remarry. Until she had chalitza from the husband, from the deceased husband's brother. This, what do you do if the couple lives in Europe and the brother lives in South Africa? Some of them don't travel, that's not enough. Just travel for 10 minutes, you do a chalitza and go back. And they're not wealthy people, I'd say. They're not interested in visiting South Africa, and he's not interested in visiting America. They just have to go travel in order to do a chalitza. And then you can afford the shliach. Let the woman send the letter to South Africa, that she appoints somebody else and she has to take off the Yavim's shoes. Or let the Yavim appoint the Shia. So the Yavim, the living brother of the Nisba, lives in South Africa, they send a letter to the Bezdin in New York. He appoints the head of the Bezdin or whatever, Rabbi Sanders, somebody in New York to appoint him as the Shia. So he should wear a shoe and let the Yavim, who lives in New York, take off his shoes. So then, all of a sudden, certainly, he can't make a Shia. That's a hardship. That's a difficult situation. Shliach is no good, you have to go spend the rest of the money in order, someone has to travel somewhere in order to do the act of chalitza in person. So tomorrow we'll be discussing then. Yeah, just like when the person himself gives the ring, you need aid in watching. So when a shliach delivers the ring to the camel, you need aid in as well. You think you need aid in
watching?
No, the brother is everything. The brother is on his head. You can't have the nisuin, though. You can have everything, but you can't have the nisuin. And every marriage, there are two parts to the marriage. Everything is when you just give over the ring. No, there's a technicality. Everything is when you give over the ring. they give over a star, and then that's kibushin. That's what we call the affairs of the kibushin, and then they're married. But then the woman is an eshet ish, but she's not the reitabah. The Chumash refers many times to a woman as the Tzaytay Yom Shukh, but the chitabah there will be not based on it. And then she'll get a kapara to himself and one thing, will be not based on for the sin of Azul Kato. So the Gemara says in Yuma, the Son of God, based on the Nishto. Nishto, says Nishto, says in Yuma, that is how to become born of God. So Rashi explains there in Yuma, even more Yuma says it. Rashi's vision said it before, that this term of based on the Nishto only refers to the woman that already had the feeling with her husband, not always. If he just gave her the ring, they said, Harach and Kudesh is being not so, then she's a full as a fish. If they decide you don't want to go through with the rest of the marriage, you need to get, 100% you need to get. And if the husband should buy them, you're going to be Khalifa, you're going to be evil, it's going to be, cannot the same words as a full as a fish. But still, let us say that this woman is a lazy fish, she may be very far. She's not living with her husband. You have to have the steward in order that she should be considered the base of it. That's the only one that it can be. So we do is we have both together. We have them in the tree. That's not the way it used to be. Years ago, we used to have both traditions. The husband would give her into the cow. They say, I have a possession. They would say the breath of his tongue. And then they would recite the breath of his tongue, the shadow breath. They'd have to recite the shadow breath, and then they would walk under the chuppah. So walking under the chuppah, is standing under the canopy together, that's what we pass from, that's called the steward. And that makes the girl, when she sees the very top out. Then she's called Beisa in the sense of Beisa is the Rishta. Beforehand she's Rishta, but she's not Beisa, she's not called the Rishta, she's the Beisa bound to the Adi Sula. So in a lot of space, you cannot appoint the Shliach, let's say, to steal another locality. The Shliach, I'll send a friend of mine to California to give a ring for my girlfriend and to pick out a girl in California for me. Somebody that he thinks is good for me, he can give the ring. Say how we have Mukudesh, and they can say the broth and the breath of Harrison, and he can give it exclusive or not, but he can't stand under the canopy as representing me, having an Yisuan. That's understood. But only the person can do that in person. That's obvious that they have told the Shia to wait for me. What if I'm about to show? But the Pope of Rabbi, he should dominate for them, he should do all the mitzvah, he should do the Shani Shamas. So the Mufashim explained, and they make a point of it, they say that Shia doesn't help over there. That's one of the areas the Shliach is that I can't point to God as the Shliach, and you should be one of the Mitzvahs and I'll stay home. The question about Kaddish also, it's that first thing you feel that he won't be able to come to Shliach all the time, and he appoints someone to say Kaddish for him, is that legitimate? It's a deep debate among the Tuscan. That is really accomplished, if anything, by appointing somebody other than the child, other than the son of the Nifa, than the daughter, whatever it has to be, to say the Kaddish for him. Are you really accomplishing anything? That's the big my question. You can't always appoint the Shliach. The Shulchan Aruch says that strictly speaking, if a man needs, he has to stand for the sunset. Let's say there's no son of all, son of Chayla, whatever. Son is not able to say Kaddish. So the question says that strictly speaking, there's nothing wrong with a woman saying Kaddish. She has that meaning of 10 men, though. She has to be in a shul with her 10 men, and then she can say Kaddish from the women's section. They just say that they don't recommend it because it looks a little foolish, it looks a little strange, and just to dress down all of them and hug you over the traditional norm. The question in America is, do some of these strange things anyway? Stranger things. So that's what they years ago, back to Belgium, used to tell about what happened when they left so many daughters, and they didn't have any sense. So he would tell them that the daughters should take cash. He felt that it's better that the daughters should go to shore. Let it dominate, but let it go to shul, let it shnek on the religion. God's going to point the shamans to say Kaddish as a shaykh of the belief. That's where he's from. That's what the Kaddish of God, but strictly speaking, the daddy should say the Kaddish. Now, my father came from the city of Romania, Bukovina. Very traditional city, no model, no reform or anything. He says, you remember, the world passed away in town, and the world left no son, he only had a daughter, and the daughter came to shul every day. She didn't ask the father the shamans, he passed away. But he said, you remember, there's a child that the daughter came to shul every day, and she said, Kaddish.
The
man was a child, right? The man was a big debate in Shulchan Aruch, when the father of the baby, really the father of the child, when my wife has a baby boy, I should really do the mitzvah of Mila myself. If I'm not able to, I'm too nervous to do it, I don't know how to do it, so then I ask him all to do it for me, on my behalf. So that's a big debate in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, that the father has the ability to point the man as a shliach for him. When the moral goes to Greece, being asked, engaged by the Father to do it, I decide the principle of Shiva Shalabi Famosa, and whereby the Father gets the mitzvah that is considered a fiat for full mitzvah, like the male point to Shiva in Kaddish Isha, male point to Shiva to get, in all of these cases will be allowed Shiva, but perhaps not. Perhaps the Maharaj's child has the same status as the Chalitza case. And the Chalitza, the halakha is very strict. We don't allow any shlichus at all. We have to figure out why anymore. And many persons say that by Nira Sabein, the father of the Rasha said, any mitzvah at all. If he knows how to do the Nira on his own, he better do it on his own. And so the Mechamer is not to do it, he has lost the mitzvah completely. That's a big machlokas in Tashkent, where they're asking the Gemara to do the Gemara, because that's the Torah Shlichus and the Shulchan Aruch right, because it's entire life of Shulchan Aruch. And in Tashkent, and there is a Avir Aben, and the father of the child stands next to the Gemara, the older Olav, he stands nearby, and the Sazari, when he tells him, I appoint you to be my Shliach. So the Shulchan Aruch right, that it is based on Shliach. But the Shach and the Tzadik and the end of Chashidush, but the Mishim Taitai, we have a big debate about that, whether that's correct or not. Is it really true that Shulchan Aruch right, can also have an application to the reverse evil? That's a good one.
The common law
this in question, the generally accepted view is that if you appoint the head someone else to say Kaddish on behalf of his family, it's also good. But there are many questions years ago, we know that it's not good, that absolutely nothing is accomplished. The only proof for the mystery is that the child himself, the child has an issue to say the Kaddish. So then I'll say, but if you love Kaddish, it has nothing to do with this mystery. Nothing is accomplished. That's a big mockery. He did, because the father doesn't know how to do it.
Yes.
And let's say the father of the baby himself is a mother, then he says to Shulchan Aruch, we are not to do it. The father should do it without the
child.
He will not have sex with his mitzvah, he's not wrong, he doesn't know how. He doesn't know how to do the mitzvah.
He doesn't know how to do the mitzvah.
The child should be the mother. So the second mitzvah that the child should be the mother that will be taken care of. It's on the father, he doesn't know how to do it, he can't do it. That's what I'm saying. So the father appoints the Mayo, he's got to do a shlicha, she wants to say to Mayo. The Bible says the big law for the Hafiz, for the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the
Bible
says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says the Bisha Shah, and the Bible says and anybody that is guilty with the dinner shlichus. No, that's the first mistake, that's from their problem. That if I'm listening to the Kiddush, then I'm guilty. Let's say I rest my father to say Kiddush and I'll be walking out in the street. I'm not paying attention to it. I'm not guilty of this. Nobody pays my shlichus. The same is true regarding Kiyah Shafer. But if I can't know Shafer and anybody is guilty for it, I'm the neighbor, it's not based on shlichus, shalom, and commercial. It's not a dinner shlichus. It's also based on Shemir Kaina. But those who are listening and paying attention to this Kiddush, they're guilty. It's considered Kima Beha, also blown Shaykhun. Like the one who says, the one who listens to Kiddush, the one who listens to Abdullah, the guilt in the midst of Kiddush and Abdullah, Kima will exist there and so has decided the Kiddush and Abdullah. That's not really based on the Kiddush and Abdullah. If the child is given, so I have a child before Bar Mitzvah, will you shall have money for me? Come and practice this like this. If they don't see, all the people are busy, they have the busy on their tour, they have no time to go to Lady Shalach Manas. So usually people pick young children before Bar Mitzvah, and they have them, will you be shall have money for them. So some customer are of the opinion that you cannot appoint a couple on a child before Bar Mitzvah to Lady Shalach Manas, because the Gemara says explicitly that a chayin shaykh to the kata, a person who is allowed by that, a child before Bar Mitzvah, is unable to serve as a shliach. So how can you send this child before Bar Mitzvah to be able to be a shliach on your behalf, but he cannot function as a shliach and call up for a kudus? Obviously it's not true, because no one has a Hashem. We have to discuss the different forms of Shlichus, when we invent Shlichus works, when it doesn't work, and what is it to us, whom can we appoint to the Shlichus? So the Torah opens up with the line, Rishni Kadeish, very good Shlichus. You have to have a person in the Kaaba. So the person can either be the Kaddish in person, he can give the ring to the Kaaba directly, or he can appoint the Shlichus to deliver the ring to the Kaaba. The Bishnuka, the Isha and the woman can either be Ms. Kadesha as well, the Bishnuka, she can either accept the certain conditions, she can take the woman in person, or she can appoint the Shriya if you go in or a woman. The woman can appoint the Shriya if you go in or a female Shriya, and the man, the husband, can appoint either a male or a female Shriya. There's no thing that the husband has to appoint back a male Shriya, and the Kala has to appoint back a female Shriya. You know, it spells it out explicitly. We'll have to discuss. The family is a good story, but it should have been like that, but it is not so. We'll have to discuss it on this dock later. Yes. Women can be a shirk also. Let us for another woman or for a man. It doesn't matter. We might as well discuss it on this dock again. The reason is that the execution leads up that family begins indirectly. The ring will not begin directly from the chasm to the kaya. The chasm can appoint the shirk to deliver the ring, and the kaya can appoint the shirk to accept the ring for her. Then the Mishnah continues, not only that the chasen is marrying the kala with her own consent, they are the two parties who have to agree to this marriage. We have another thing, that if a man has a daughter who is either before Bas Mitzvah, it's called a kala, before the age of 12, or the first 6 months after God was dead, she becomes a Bas Mitzvah, and she's called a Naira. A girl is considered a kala, you're often called 12, then she becomes a Bas Mitzvah, she's a Bedelda. But they have to be with Bela, then there are two places. So the first 6 months of her Gondor, she's considered a Naira, she's the Reis Havira. If she has a living father, she's the Reis Havira. And after the 6 months of her, then she's considered a Bulgaris. Bulgaris means completely free on her own. She's a Bela, she's no longer the Reis Havira. Like for example, if the girl takes a Medra, so the father can only cancel a Medra, he can only be Reis of his daughter's Medra. Even before passing this one, she takes a Medra. Well, during the first 6 months, after Godless. After she's already Bulgarian, so the Mishnah says she's already Bishufatna. She's on her own. That's what the Mishnah calls in the Bible. Yisroma Bechai Yavir. We consider her as if she had a Yisroma, even though the father is still alive. She has a father, he's paying for her education, he's sending her through college, he's going to pay the marriage off, and all she's doing, she's considered a Yisroma. As if she had no father, well, because she's no longer Bishufatna. After Nairus is up, when the girl reaches the age of 12 and a half, she's a Bulgarian, then she's no longer Bishufavir. So the reason... Yeah, the mother, the husband can be married to his wife for that, right? But the daughter's in Bulgarian, the father can only be married for as long as she's Bishufavir. After Bagul is dead to the age of 12 and a half, the father no longer has any shrita or kizina. With respect to several things, the one thing is that the any money that the daughter earns belongs to the father. But that's only up until the age of 12 and a half. Then if she really stops earning money, after 12 and a half, that doesn't belong to the father like it is. Then the father doesn't possess that. Well, the father has the right to be made to run the children only up until the age of 12 and a half, and she's probably not taking some money in the garden anyway. After the age of 12 and a half, that's when she stops trying to sing up and don't let it out, then she's not the ship of me, he cannot be made to run the garden. I presume, yeah, father he's returning, and that's called Yisrael the Chai Yavir. The father's alive, and I presume she's considering as if she really can...
Not the bear
and the husband is alive to the dinner. The husband has his choice to get nicer than... That's a different deal. That's a different thing. The father here, it's a different deal. The father, to what age is the father supposed to support his children? It's also a business, at a very young age. Very young. Only to the age of six. Here's the six after dinner on the field and accept them there for himself. So here the Mishnah has another deal. That the daughters are considered the Shisadiyah and not until the age of 12 and a half with respect to marrying her off. But the father has the right to pick the husband for his daughter up until the age of 12 and a half. He can marry up his daughter when she's 1 day old. My wife has a baby daughter, so I can say whoever wants, she's proposed, who wants to marry my 1 day old daughter? But someone gives me, I'm the father of the girl, somebody gives me a ring, and he says, I read this, and the progressive lady, the Kaka Zoo, Kaka Moshe Yisrael, I can marry up my daughter when she's 1 year old. Then my wife is pregnant and the doctor tells me it's going to be a girl. It's a better, a sonogram or whatever, you know it's going to be a girl. And the thing is that the baby before the born is considered a very small barrier. And I came to Iman, I'm so eager to marry up my children. Jewish father wants to marry up his daughter, born with father, when she's not born yet, and he said, marry her. So it's all the lady. When she's 1 day old, then the mission says the father. He says she's born, the father can marry her love.
I don't know
if you know that. You guys know she doesn't? Yeah. So the mission says that the father has sleep or the father has control over his daughter, but now he has off to whomever he chooses, even if he's a mean family, puts out a miserable husband for the progress, he has to stop her and try to get a jet. Doesn't the soul have a particular jet if they feel that it's a ridiculous marriage? But the reason that the marriage is valid, even though it doesn't make any sense, let's say the husband married up his daughter. There's 1 day old to a husband and 95 years old. But the ridiculous marriage, the thing still is that the condition is valid, that the girl is married, and then she'll marry up as another one, and she'll be old enough to understand what's going on. The husband will try to coax her husband to give her a gift, and if not, then they'll coax him a little bit harder, and they'll beat him up, and if not, they'll make her,
I mean,
she has a mortgage. And then doesn't want to give a jet, in addition to the mortgage, says it doesn't beat him up. Couple months, she has a mortgage, and has a mortgage. Until she becomes a mother, he doesn't exist, they beat him up, he'll drop down. That's quite awful. If the thing requires it, then she gives a jet, doesn't want to give, he's supposed to beat him up. So either she becomes a mortgage, she becomes a mother.
She wants to point
to
the scenario. I mean,
here's
a problem with two different hands, they will. But
what if
she wants to, she's possibly
important? No. So the Mishnah says like this. The father has full control. Here the Mishnah has part of it, and now the mother has still in the rest. The father has full control over the daughter until the age of 12 and a half. He's the only one who can decide when to marry her off to. And he can appoint the shura if he chooses, but the shura should have control. And the girl cannot be the kind of tradition on her own. Maybe praying. This is another question that the girl before the age of 12 is a family, so she's an Abbas Dar, so you understand, of course she cannot marry herself well. So if I could call, you cannot get married, so doesn't have like Kidin, even if they're very bright kids. The age of 11 year olds are very bright, but like Kidin, we declare until the age of Bar Mitzvah, a cop and an Exana are not going to be gotten. So until the age of 12, we understand that the girl cannot marry herself well, but even in the 6 months, after the godless before Babylon, the thing still is that the girl cannot marry herself well. That's enough places between the Yashan and the Shlepish. Later in the condition, we pass on that Yeshanan, that the girl has no right to marry herself off till after the age of 12 and a half. Then she's left in the shul from here, then she's out alone, and the father no longer has any control over her to do to decide when she should marry. Then she's alone by the bus, she can decide to marry her, right? She marries. So the Mishnah mentions that not only can a husband appoint the Shliach to do the condition on his behalf, but the Kaaba can appoint the Shliach to receive the condition on her behalf. If the girl's father wants to marry off his daughter, and she's before the age of 12 and a half, he doesn't even have to do it in person. He can even appoint the shliach. And the shliach can make the condition against the girl's wishes, and the girl has no say. The girl has no right to complain. So the shliach represents the father. And the father, like you can, has the full control over her marriage.
The father is not the shliach.
That's a question. That's how it is. That we discussed that too, that's what I thought. This is the basic mission. So now we're going to comment on the mission. We might want to know why the mission spells everything out explicitly. People like today, full sentences and full paragraphs, people like books when they could have written sentences. People like volumes when they could have written one paragraph. But the mission was written at a time when it was forbidden to write down the parashat out there. And the only reason why they allowed the writing down of the Torah Shema Atzeh is because they were afraid they would be forgotten. There was so much to remember, they were afraid the Torah would be forgotten. Although this was a violation of the law, seems to be a violation of the law, that's the question. But it's not like a violation. So the Gemara says in Tzmur, in the beginning of the 7th parish, that because the need was so great and so overwhelming, it sounds to me as if they were not there, the issue of writing down Torah Shema Atzeh. The question is, how can you do that? We can change, we have to do reform, so let's change all the laws in order to fit in with the modern society. So it's a problem exactly what those big laws mean. says the difference. It's an important problem, but it's a different problem. It's not the problem it is. So the Gemara assumes that when the Mishnah writes down dinim, the Mishnah writes the dinim as concisely as possible. Because the Hesed, the right down Parashat Alpeh, is only because of the Hesed of Baruch Hashem, the Torah of Baruch Hashem. We only allow writing down the Parashat Alpeh because we're afraid it's going to be forgotten. So if you write something in a Hesed sentence, then you don't write a whole paragraph. So the Gemara asks on the Mishnah, why is it? That's a Mishnah, that's a question of historian. That's a big debate. There are two readings in the Derech of Sherigon, when were the Mishnah is written down? Was it written in the days of Rabbi Dan Esi, or was it written later in the days of Rabbi and Rabash? That's a historical question. Well, the Rambam assumes that it was only written later. Now, so the Nudah is going to have to be written down. The Nudah is going to be written down. That's why we have sometimes Mishnahs that are written in outline form. You haven't seen Mishnah in the very famous Mishnah in the first part of Bava Kamma. The Mishnah does, it's not even a sentence at all. It's just what he's talking, it's heading of the Shul character, Shul character, the Kinezazim, all the Hegem, the Hegem, this is not even a sentence. It doesn't make any sense at all. So the example is each word of the Mishnah is a remnant for a different din. And you have a few other Mishnah out there also, where the Mishnah wrote in 6-6 form, just in what he's talking, not enough to forget our letters. But they didn't want to write more than that because they thought that it wasn't necessary. He also did not comment on the Mishnah. Rather, the Mishnah, he would have said, Tanakh did such a service, he wrote it in a full sentence. He wrote a full paragraph. Mishnah Kaddish Bol Mishlucho. And then he did not leave by giving a ring in person or by appointing a Sharia, appointing an agent to give the ring to the girl and into here. So the more is picking on the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah write everything so explicitly? There's no need to write this. The Mishnah should have just said, Mishnah Kaddish Mishlucho. That the person can marry the girl on his own level, it's a chumash. Everybody knows you can get married on your own. Give the girl a ring, you're married. The only thing, the only thing that the Mishnah is trying to tell us is that if the chasm wants to, he can appoint the shliya. So why does it have to say the word that after the shliya is kadesh? Now that the Mishnah says the man can do the act of kibushin. Are you a shliya? He appoints somebody else to give the ring over on his behalf. Then the boy is, if the devil pushes, certainly he can give the kibushin in person. So why does the Mishnah bother to write the old Mishlucha? It should have been written in the Kitzah. The Mishnah Kadesh, Mishlucha. No one will think that it means only the Mishlucha. No one will be misled to think that you can only marry a girl if you give the excessive kibushin or Yeshua. You can't marry a girl in person. Everybody will understand that it means a female Yeshua. So why mention both? Amar Yeshua, so Yeshua says, the Mishnah is telling me another thing. In addition to the din of Shlucha Shalavim Kemosa, which is the main thing of this parak, and this is finally another din. There is a cloud, this is a boy, you also need the Shlucha. Whenever you have a mitzvah, that you can either do it in person, or you're going to tell somebody else to do the mitzvah, you'll be here. So we only suggest that if Khalid is a mitzvah, that the person should do it in person. That's what Rabbi Yosef said. Mitzvah boy, you also need the Shlucha. Mishnah says, Mishnah time is bow. Expressive of the man should punish the Isha in person, or if he's unable to do that, if he doesn't want to, then the strict is, legally speaking, the Shlucha, the rest of it he can do as a Shlucha, but he will have lost this added in the mitzvah of mitzvah by the Shlucha. Well, yeah,
That there is no mitzvah to get married per se. The only mitzvah getting married is the hachara to have children. The Torah has a mitzvah here in Israel, so every Jewish man should have children, so the only way to have children is to get, the only partner to have children is to be married to. Getting married is the hachara to having the children. And the Talmud tells us in Yivamah, the reason I'm working for Tamar is a big debate, and it's a line, but the women are obligated in the mitzvah here in Israel. So one Tana says, but the prophet speaks both to the men and to the women. It doesn't say to any or there. It doesn't say to see here. To Adam, it doesn't say to Noah when he's defeated. Some broken passions of relations, like those brothers, speaks to Adam and Isha, and to Chava, as defeated in passions of Noah. Half of the novel then speaks to Noah and his wife. So it doesn't say to any or there, speaking in the singular to Adam and in the singular to Noah. It says to all of them, and it's more. So one time it says, that the grammar used in the Pasuk indicates that the mitzvah of love equally does to men and to women. We don't have some of that. We talk that the mitzvah of having children only applies to the men and not to the women. So now you have a good kasha. Ignore the comments on the Mishnah that it's mitzvah of yes and the Mishnah of both by the husband and by the wife. That the chosin is the mitzvah of Hatzila, he should do because he should give the ring in person. And the talmud is the mitzvah of Hatzila that she should accept because of Kiddushin in person. She shouldn't offend the Shliya to accept the Kiddushin of her behalf. So the Ron poses this question. On the assumption that there is no independent mitzvah in getting married. The only mitzvah in marriage is to lead up to having the children. And on the assumption that we pass the law like this. The second assumption is the Mishnah. That the mitzvah of having children only applies to the men, not to the women. So how can you say regarding the girl, regarding the caller, the mitzvah of God, the only thing that the Shluch Aaron, should not have any mitzvah at all? So what means it's preferable that she should get married in person. She should not appoint the Shliach, otherwise she should lose the Habib and Mitzvah. Even if she does it in person, she doesn't have any Mitzvah only on the men, not on the women. That's the Ram's question. So for this, the Ram has a famous answer, because the true of the women do not have the Mitzvah of the Israel. But how can the men have children without the wife helping him? So the wife is Mishayah, she's helping out the husband, she's enabling him to fulfill his Mitzvah of the Israel. So even though she per se is not doing not only tied out mitzvah, she's not doing the kind of mitzvah of fear of the video, but she's doing another mitzvah, she's a sayera, she's helping out the husband to perform his mitzvah, and in doing that to you are you also saying mitzvah by Yes and Jishma. That's what the Ram
said.
So he says it's the mitzvah to be Messiah to the husband.
He has a mitzvah to be Messiah, right.
That's what the Ram says. What the Ram says is difficult for the following reason. Let's say we have a Torah mitzvah
Bali. The Mishnah doesn't speak only in terms of religion.
Right.
So the whole discussion is really on the
commentary. The Gemara was commenting why the Mishnah spells out where is the Shlucha. So the Gemara says the main principle of the Mishnah is trying to teach us in the principle of Shlucha that the marriage is valid, that it's Tal, the Mishnah of Tal. But there I got out the fact that the Mishnah says where is the Shlucha, the word Dora indicates to us that it's a mitzvah that it's in the Shlucha. So the Gemara claims the Mishnah is alluded to this Dora itself. So the Ram has this comment on the Mishnah. Why does it apply to the girl if the girl doesn't have any mitzvah at all? So he answers, she's Messiah on this. The problem is, we don't always apply mitzvah by Yosef and the Shluva. Take for example, the community has a shir. Some people attend the shir, and other people don't attend the shir. So you say that the people who do attend the shir, oh, they have the heathen mitzvah by Yosef and the Shluva. People are watching television at home, they're the kind of mitzvah of having a shiur, but they're not the kind of either mitzvah of mitzvah that you should not. They're not, if they're learning on their own for stuff, they're the kind of mitzvah of having a shiur. But if they're watching television, they're not the kind of any mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to have a shiur, the mitzvah is to learn better. Mitzvah that the person should do it himself. So you have to judge in each case, what is the mitzvah? What is the mitzvah? Take for example, shaking a ruler. So the mitzvah is to shake the ruler. Now the din is I cannot afford the rabbi as a shliach to shake the ruler. I cannot afford the chavmi as a shliach to shake the ruler on my behalf. If I don't pick up the ruler and ask it myself, I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah at all. That's like the fellow who never wrote the shiur. They can't afford the other to go to the shiur. The shluchim to learn for him. They'll go to the wedding. I told you the shliach to dance for me. Dance for the door. If you're not there, you're not dancing. That's the mitzvah that you can't do all the shliach. Either you do it or you don't do it. You can't afford the shliach to do it. What about, let's say, buying the ruler in the Esrog? Is there a mitzvah by the Esrog in the Shluchah that I have to go down to the east side and buy my own ruler in the Esrog? And if the rabbi is going to be buying 111 Esrog for all about nothing, I can't ask him, Is it either mitzvah, the mitzvah, the mitzvah, or the mitzvah, the shlichah? So the answer is, that's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to shake the wool of the earth. There's no mitzvah to bury it. All right, but the question is, on the first 2 days of Sukkot, it has to belong to you. And if it doesn't belong to you, if it's not shalachem on the first 2 days of Yom Kippur, then you don't fulfill the mitzvah. So why not say that acquiring the wool of the earth, getting the ownership, should also be considered a hachana, that the hechshit of a mitzvah. And since that's ma'akeh, if it doesn't belong to me, I'm not going to the mitzvah on the first 2 days, why not say that purchasing it should also be like a hachana for the mitzvah of shaking the wool, and say mitzvah or mitzvah mishlucha. So the answer is given by the Nitzis, and in commentary on Gemara, that's the founder of Meir Bar Ilan, father of Chaimelin, his brother, Chaimelin, Meir Bar Ilan, his brother. So both children of the Nitzis, Rosh Hashiva and Elo. He has in his paper, he explains, that you only apply mitzvah or mitzvah mishlucha to the actual, either to the actual mitzvah itself, take for example, Bidikat Chomet. The Chomet may have had Chomet, and on the night before, Erev Pesach, everybody has to be voted Chomet. In the mitzvah, you have to put a mezuzah on your door. So if I tell somebody else to put the mezuzah on my door, I have fulfilled the mitzvah, but I have not fulfilled the mitzvah there, you have to be shmuchay. If I ask somebody else to be voted Chomet for me in my office, in my home, or whatever, so I have seen to it that the Chomet was, the house was checked out, but I didn't do it myself, so I have forfeited the Hebrew mitzvah, 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 yentim, and mishlucha. What happens if you have a hachana in the mitzvah to buy a talent? If I don't have the talent, I can't put it up, to buy the talent. Talent also has to belong to me. The buying of the talent, you don't have to tell me to wear your that's just a hachana. The buying of the little mitzvah, that's just a hachana in the mitzvah. So whenever it's an extra mitzvah, just the preparation and the hachana for the mitzvah, then you don't apply mitzvah, yentim, and mishlucha. I didn't see this. Is a Rashi and Maki Tachet, where Rashi says mitzvah bar yotzei mishlucha by building a sukkah. And if you're able to, and you have time, you should try to make time to build your own sukkah. You shouldn't just walk into something. Even the actual mitzvah, you to see the sukkah on the 7 days, on the 8 days of sukkah. So even the sukkah, the construction of the sukkah is only a hachaneh, a preparation in advance to enable you to do the mitzvah. And Rashi still holds in Maki Tachet that you apply this to the very earth of the shluha, the construction of the sukkah. So the Nitzis explains in his paper that a hesha mitzvah, a kosher batera, is different. It says in the Chumash speaks about constructing the sukkah. The Chumash doesn't talk about buying the wool, it just will have to belong to you. It's obvious that if you didn't buy it, it's not going to belong to you. But the Torah doesn't say, buy yourself a wool. So it says, shake the wool. The Torah doesn't say, you should buy the talent. Because you should wear tzitzis on your first day of garments. So the mitzvah is to wear the tzitzis. You want this to buy it. If you won't buy a talent, you won't have it. You won't buy the tzitzis, you won't have the tzitzis. So you only say mitzvah by the way to with respect to actually doing those mitzvahs, or in the area of hechsher mitzvah, hachonis, done in preparation to the actual mitzvah, only those hechsher mitzvah have still about there. Only those that are written in the Torah. Last year, we were learning the Rebbe in this year, so we discussed writing on the mezuzah. So the Nitzis says, since it says in the Torah, "Ochsav tamal mezuzahs beisrecha bisharecha," you should write the parsha of Shema v'Hayom Shemera on the doorpost. Now, it doesn't really mean you should write it. It doesn't mean you should nail it on. You should attach the mezuzah, what we call the mezuzah, the piece of parchment, onto the doorpost. But even though that's what it means, but what does it say in the Chumash? It says in the Chumash, "Ochsav tamal," you should write it. So the writing of the mezuzah is really only a hakana, that's our regular 100,000 mezuzahs. And I never nail any of them up on the door. So the thing is, I'm not going to any mitzvah. I haven't fulfilled any mitzvah. I just sit in that mitzvah and I'll put them up. There's no good. The mitzvah only consists of hanging them up. But still, because the Torah writes an expression, Ochsav Tom, our mezuzah, the same speaks of writing the mezuzah, that's considered an extra mitzvah, a chana, a preparation for the mitzvah, which is written in the Torah. And therefore, we would require the Hatzilah, whoever they'll tell, whoever has time, has the ability to. You should write your own mezuzah, you should write your own tefillah on the Hatzilah. Or let's say the tying of tzitzis onto the garment. So if a talent doesn't know how he goes to the store and buys himself a talent, they have the tzitzis tied on. But if people know how, they have a little talent, it's a mitzvah by Yisrael the Shmuch, like to tie the tzitzis, to buy the strings separately and the garment separately, and to tie it on yourself. Why? Because the Torah speaks of tying on. The Torah speaks of tying on the chutim onto the garment. Even though I'll tie some things on that skin, I won't wear the garment, there's no mitzvah. I'll tie around the stitches and leave them in my drawer. I don't have any use to the key, my little one is when you wear it. what Gunam talks about. The Chumash says, like this, Chag HaSukkot Tasalera, Shir HaSyamin, Yeras Tachon Begon Lecham Yitzhak. So the Chumash speaks about celebrating the holiday of Sukkot, the 7 days, they should celebrate the holiday of the 7 days, at that season of the year, Yeras Tachon Begon Lecham Yitzhak, at the ingathering season. So the Gemara takes that process, and has a whole additional level of interpretation. Well, that's happened from the beginning to the end. The Gemara says, let's forget for a minute, we'll get back to it at the end of the minute, let's forget for a minute, we'll go Chag. The Gemara says, let's start reading the passage from the second word, and then we'll get back to the first word. Sukkot Tasalot, you should construct the Sukkot Shir HaSyamim. The Sukkot, sometimes you should touch. But the Gemara says, this is the Torah Shir HaSyamim. The Gemara doesn't have any sense. From this touch, this is considered a Josh HaSyamim. A narrow level of interpretation. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that this is Sukkot Shalitra. The Gemara didn't have any hallucination about this. The Pshut HaShemitah is, Chag HaSukkot Tasalot, you should celebrate the holiday, the festival of Sukkot, you should celebrate it for 7 days, at the season of ingathering. But the Gemara has another level of interpretation, that's a Joshua. There's a Tereshit HaTeh interpretation of the Torah. You should construct the Sukkot that should be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. If you construct the Sukkot that will probably collapse within the 7 days, you're not even ready for the mitzvah when you sat there on the third day. It has to be really a Koshiva. And the Gemara says, Tasa, but I'm going to ask you. You have to put the Tzach down, the Shem, fail. And if it happens that the Tzach happens to be there by itself, it's no good. You need Tasa on the Tzach. And then the passage continues, and what should you construct, what should you make the Tzach out of, what material? So the Tzach Allah Shir HaSyamim, the Earth, you should make the Tzach from the altar, from the left over of the God of Holy Tzach, from the soul of God of the Echim. From the branches that are left over, it means that it grew from the ground, it's giving a Tzach, but it was correct in the ground, it's not published, and it's not in the Kabbal Kuma. It's not the actual grapes itself, it's not the actual islands themselves, it's for us to call it down on the ground, but it's full of ground directly. What's left over after taking the grapes from the olive oil, from the branches, that means you should make the start from the branches. It has to be something that grew from the ground, it's really character, and it's polished, it's no longer attached to the ground, and it should be double shaking the Kabbal Kuma, because the grapes from the olives are the Kabbal Kuma, those ones. The branches are not left, and they're not killed, and they're not recovered from it. But then the Gemara gets stuck. But what happens to the word Chag? How can you read that? You can't just take one word out of the Chag. You can completely out of context and say, that's what it is. You have to give another level of interpretation on the whole passage. So the Gemara says, yes, Chag of Sukkot is hyphenated. What it means to say is that the Chag, that the Sukkot, Sukkot was Chagiga. The word Chag in Tanakh means the Chag of Chagiga. It doesn't mean a holiday. Not in Hebrew we call Chanukah, we call Chag HaOlim, the holiday of life, we call Purim, Chag HaOlim. We call that any time there's a holiday, we call it Chag. But in Biblical Hebrew, that's a point on the Shulchan Aruch. So in Biblical Hebrew, the word Chag means a carbon chagiga, the special carbon that's often in Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. And we call Yom Tov Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaShavuot, the Chag HaSukkot, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, not called Chag, so we don't have any carbon chagiga. Even Shmuel HaAseret is never referred to in Tanakh as a Chag. Because by Shmuel HaAseret, there's no need to bring the carbon chagiga. All that Pesach Shavuot in the beginning of Sukkot. That's the question that we're supposed to say Chag and Shmuel HaAseret. That's the only debate in the Shulchan Aruch. We say Shmuel HaAseret. But other than that, most of you shouldn't, because in Biblical Hebrew, the term Chag means the carbon chagiga. And Shmuel HaAseret, there's no need to bring the carbon chagiga. So the word Chag, strictly speaking, means a carbon chagiga, a shredding, which is often the name from the English. And the Torah uses the phrase, the Torah speaks of Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaShavuot, in a borrowed term, it means the holiday of Pesach on which there is a mitzvah to bring a carbon chagiga. Chag HaShavuot is the holiday of Shavuot on which there is a mitzvah to bring a carbon chagiga. So likewise, the Gemara says over here. The topic means, at this level of interpretation, is not a Pshut HaShavuot. Sukkot Tasalot Shir HaSyamim should construct the Sukkot that should be stirring up for the rest of 7 days and so on. And the Sukkot that you built should be a Chag HaSukkot, should be a Sukkot that's like a carbon chagiga. In what sense is a Sukkot like a carbon chagiga? So the Gemara says that it's hooked to the mitzvah. And just like a carbon chagiga, you're not permitted to be Nehemiah from it. Carbon is the Hegdish. And Hegdish is not permitted to use for his own private purposes. So if I have a Sukkot, in the middle of Sukkot, I need some bamboo to play grill or something. I want to make myself a hut just for fun, not a Sukkot. I want to burn some wood. I want to take out some chocolate markets to make a toothpick. I want to burn some wood to keep myself warm. It is not that the reason that I'm told, one is not permitted to take down some of the crop. Even if you're going to have enough crop up there to remain a portion of Sukkot, it's still not allowed. You're not allowed to be in the back of the mitzvah, say, any part of the crop. That's the reason they're right.
The only question is, when the people from the shul come to Rav Shaila, he comes to the house, sick in New Jersey, and a friend of his didn't have any crap. And he had as much pot on his sukkah that he had already sat in his sukkah. So his sukkah was malicious in his birthday. So the friend was pleading that he should take off some of his pot and put it on the other fellow's sukkah. That's the shayla in post. That's the big machlokes. You're not mevatel when it's lost out in your sense. You're not using it for private purpose. You're not using it as a toothpick. You're not using it as a firewood. You're using it for stock on another sukkah. But it's no longer serving the purpose of being part of this sukkah. So that's the big machlokes in poskim, where that's allowed or not. Most of the poskim assume that it is allowed, and that the Maharshan, who's usually the biggest maker of war, says that it's not allowed. He says, you're not allowed to be mevatel in this poskim, even to use it for another mitzvah of the same nature. But the most of the classical poskim assume that it is okay.
Well, you
can't. You can't. The union of the Marsham should be right. Okay. Good. So we're on. So here, this is how the Nesivik stands out. Well, the Torah doesn't really explicitly, I'll be Pshutish on this one. The Torah doesn't really speak about constructing and stuff. Yeah? But the Drushas Chachamim has it, that Tosik is alluding to. Not the Pshutish on this one, but according to the Drushas HaGemara, the Tosik Chagat, Sivik Tzah Salah, is not only referring to the Shulcha of celebrating the holiday of Sukkot for 7 days, refers to constructing the sukkah that it should be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. The Pasuk in Gemara, Rashi and Pasuk, Asiyah of sukkah, construction of the sukkah, is also falls under this category. So Hashem Mitzvah HaKasa Batayim. So that's the Nesiv's plan. He says, whenever you have a mitzvah, the actual mitzvah itself, then you'll find the principle of mitzvah that is in the Mishnah. You should do the mitzvah in person. Whenever you have a Hashem Mitzvah, buying the woman, buying the stock, buying the talis, buying the fast filling, then there's no problem of mitzvah variation in the shulchan. But whenever it's a hachana, it's a preparation for the mitzvah. Although it's not the actual mitzvah, it's only a preparation. But it's a hachana for the mitzvah which the Torah speaks of. As for example, writing the mezuzah, or chtapon on the mezuzah, or constructing the sukkah, not buying the sukkah. Putting it together, ta'asalah, for tying on the sukkahs onto the garment. So such a hachana mitzvah which is written in the Torah, then you do apply the principle of mitzvah variation in the shulchan. But once you keep this in mind, the cloud of the Nesiv develops, pretty handy cloud, solves a lot of problems. But you should assume like the Nesiv, that I don't know if this round was really hold water. The question is that if the round answer is valid or not, the Nesiv doesn't like the round answer. He goes to give his own answer based on the memory. If you follow the Nesiv's line of logic over here, you're in trouble with this one. What does it mean over here, Mitzvah Bar Yesh Mishnah, as far as getting married? If you're telling me the mitzvah really is to have the children, the children obviously is not going to come to school. You're not going to adopt any children. He's going to have the children on his own. So what do you mean getting married is a mitzvah? Is the Ram says getting married, you're not going to have fun for a mitzvah. The Ram says, the real mitzvah is having the children. And if getting married is only a hachana for Hashem mitzvah, so you got to have an inferior religion. So why does the Gemara come in mitzvah by Yosef Mishloha to getting married? So you don't have the answer. And although getting married is not the actual mitzvah, it's only Hashem mitzvah, but it's also Hashem mitzvah, our cousin's not covered. The Torah says, you can't be Shisha, Umiyala. So it speaks about getting married. So the act of getting married, not just that it's a legality, that you can do it if you want. The Torah speaks and encourages people to get married. And even though it doesn't count as one of the mitzvahs, because it's only a hachara to lead up to the mitzvah to the radio, but as a Hashem mitzvah, a cousin's not covered. So you still apply this for Rabbi Yosef Mishloach, but the question is, what about the girl? The girl, as far as the girl is concerned, it's only the sayah, she's only helping out the husband to fulfill his mitzvah. You're going to tell me so far that this for Rabbi Yosef Mishloach is. And the hachana on the girl is the sayah. So the Nesiv doesn't like this chat as the Ram says, based on his whole philosophy. He gives a long, has a long lesson on it. The distinction between that four differences of halakha and mitzvah, between the Hashem Mitzvah HaKasa Batera and the Hashem Mitzvah Shena HaKasa Batera. But buying the that's only a Hakana. But constructing the Sukkah, that's a higher level of Hashem, that's HaKasa Batera. But one of the four distinctions is regarding Mitzvah Ben Yashem Mishlo. So he doesn't like this line. So he goes and he gives a whole different answer. He says when you look in the Rambam, you see the Rambam wasn't bothered with the Kashi at all. When the Rambam Mitzvah, the Taryag Mitzvah, both in the Sefer Mitzvah, and in the Yara HaZokir, the Rambam has every section of Halacha, so he always introduces that section by listing up how many mitzvahs he's going to discuss here. So in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, he lists off how many mitzvahs are we going to discuss here. He says, oh, we're going to discuss the mitzvah of getting married, then discuss the mitzvah of the kind of allowed to marry Gusha, some of them allowed to marry Amon, and we're going to discuss the mitzvah of spiritual Israel, of having children. So one counts two separate mitzvahs. A mitzvah to get married is one mitzvah, and a mitzvah to have children is a different mitzvah. So then it's this part that, and of course the Rambam's son had a shiur about this, the Rambam sheet is completely different from the Rambam. These are two distinct mitzvahs. The mitzvah to have children is one mitzvah. And regarding the mitzvah to hear radio, the machlokes ha'tanayim, is it really about the men or does it extend to women as well? And as far as that's concerned, we start from like the tanayim only applies to the men. The women don't have any mitzvah to have children. But then there's another mitzvah that everybody should be married. That applies to both men and to women. Nothing to do with the hear radio. Let's say the fellow is an older person, he's very high enough children, very high 15 children, and he lost his wife, he got divorced and everything. He said, the mother says, I'm still in the Surah Imani. You can find the husband still in the Surah Imani. He said to the Chumash, Lord, tell me how far in the Lago. So send the Mitzvah, after I began, send this to be married, whatever time, whether you're going to have children or not going to marry. So send the Mitzvah. And that Mitzvah, Ki Yikach Yishisho, that every person should be married, applies both to men and to women. That's not an actual Mitzvah, that's the actual Mitzvah to get married. So since it applies equally to men and to women, so you say this to boys, you're to the Shluchah. This is a big pupil. This is a big question whether this is the Rambam sheet is like that, that the Mitzvah to get married is an independent Mitzvah unrelated to theory. And the Mitzvah is mutalist, this Mitzvah is obligatory on men and women equally. And the Rambam disagrees and thinks there is no independent Mitzvah to be married. The mother says that as an Eitzetayver, that the proper thing is, that even if one rests his life, he should still remain as an Eitzetayver, that it's not really a strict, not really a mitzvah in our Torah. It's a mitzvah in the Dibre-Kapola, it's a mitzvah in the Rapana, whatever. It's not a real mitzvah in our Torah. In our Torah, marriage is only a hafana for the mitzvah of Torah Rebbe. This is a big issue, a heated issue, let's say, when a couple gets married, so the girl wants to pick out the Messiah Kiddush, she wants to be Mechavri, her rabbi. That he should say the Birchat Tevis, and in the poor ones, the Muhammad is rabbi, that he should be in the Sadi Kedushin, he should say the Birchat Tevis. So the question discuss who has the right, who is right, who has the right. So the question is, well, whose bracha is it, who's really supposed to recite that bracha, Birchat Tevis? So if you say the Mitzvah to get married is only on the husband, and the Birchat Tevis and his bracha, as you say when you do, you start getting married, that's the husband's bracha, he's really supposed to say, he has the right to give it to whomever he wants. The girl has the right not to marry him, okay? The girl can beat him up later on, she can harass him for the rest of his life, but this is it. They can do whatever they want, but just strictly, legally speaking, who does the brother belong to? So if you say the mitzvah, you say like Quran, if the mitzvah to get married is only on the husband and the man, the women don't have any mitzvah getting married, because getting married is only for the purpose of leading up the period of Israel, and the women don't have the mitzvah to marry, so they don't have any mitzvah to get married. So then the mitzvah says, and it's only a mitzvah that should be decided by the person, or whomever he chooses, so he has the right to choose. However, if you all like the Rambam, that getting married is a mitzvah of hope, that's such a mitzvah to get married. So when you get married, the mitzvah recites the Hasidim, the bracha belongs to the Chassid and the Kai equally. So then it doesn't only belong
to one of them. He has to be
He can't be Mekadosh without her consent. That's why she can't. Okay. Doesn't matter, but you need both. In order to get married, you need both.
She has to. I'm not
going
to show her. What
happens to you? Anything to be married? But the mitzvah is, the marrying is a separate mitzvah, unrelated, or presumed, it's unrelated to the mitzvah of having children. And the mitzvah of getting married applies equally to the man, to the chassan, and to the kala. So the dechassation really belongs to both. And then the unit says like this, the dechassation really belongs to each of them independently, so then they have to get together to decide who the bani mechaber. And the chassan has no more data than the kala, as far as picking out who the bani condition should be, because the blood belongs to both. That's the sugar that never be heated.
The Gemara says the person has to pay for their wedding. And today the practice is that the common part, that's a different problem. Why that switch? The Rebbe Yehuda has a discussion of this on the mindset. The practice is that in the common condition, the rabbi says that you have services. He's not paying for himself, but he assumes the rabbi says the block on behalf of the Chassam Kaur. Really, the Chassam should say the block. The rabbi says that, like I say Kiddush and everybody says Domain, so everybody says Domain to the Kiddush and I have Domain, the jealousy with the principle of Shemaya Kohen is to hear also. The rabbi says the block on behalf of services, and the Chassam Kaur will hear the block and they say Domain. So then you have to clearly get for us to say the block. So the Rebbe Yehuda has a sugar.
Why should
Why should the Rambam say that? We'll be conquered, they'll say they're a very good education, they'll be able to set the block on their own. And more, Kedeshim Elabash, it's Mishen Yodeya, not an Akron Barrett. Those Kassan who don't know how to set the block on their own, or they'll fumble or whatever, so we institute a Kassan and Minim, but the rabbi knows he sets the block. But it's not that the rabbi says the block for himself, the rabbi says the block to be mostly the Kassan and the Kass. So they do, they have a shine, but what do you do if the Kassan is there? Kassan can't hear. So can the rabbi say the bracha terishin or not? So that the Yehuda says he's not sure if the person is deaf and the kala is not. So the kala can hear the bracha. Maybe the rabbi can say the bracha because he knows the kala. She doesn't have to hear as long as she knows what's going on. That's okay. But as far as the bracha is concerned, as far as the bracha is concerned, I can only say a bracha to you. You'll only be listening if you hear. Shomei HaKohen, if you hear the words, then you get, if you don't hear, then you're not Yosef. So the Rebbe Yehuda has a shot about this. What if the person is deaf? Can the rabbi say the bracha and son not on behalf of the person? On behalf of the person, he can't say. The person doesn't hear, so there's no Shemir Kaina. So the Rebbe Yehuda is the super, can the rabbi say the bracha on behalf of the kala? He has a selfish, he's in doubt, and whether the bracha terrorism has to be recited only by the person, it's only his mitzvah to say bracha terrorism. Well, the mystery is that both the Chassan and the Kala should say Bracha Terusah. Either he should say, she should say, or they should both say. Somehow they both have to say Bracha Terusah. Even if the Chassan is deaf, the Rabbi can say the Bracha on behalf of the Kala. And that's what he's making, what the Yehuda is making. But his Kula, that's the Kula of the Yehuda, that they both have a Shaykhah with the Bracha of Bracha Terusah, both the Chassan and the Kala, that's clearly based on this Rambam's opinion, that there's a second mitzvah to get married, unrelated to Bracha, and this mitzvah to get married applies equally to the men and to the women, because the Bracha Terusah applies equally both to the men and to the women. How do you say Rambam here? No, let's say a deaf mute, want to shake the ruler. So let him shake the ruler without a bracha. The bracha is not the akedah. He can still shake the ruler with a silly mitzvah. But I cannot say the bracha for him if he won't be able to hear what I'm saying. If the person is deaf and he can speak, they should say he's on bracha, he shake the ruler. They should say he's on the akedah. Let's say he's deaf and he can't hear and he can't speak. They can't say bracha. This is this. He did a mitzvah without the bracha.
Does it have to be
the actual Shemaya?
Yeah.
Can you do the same thing? The past decision has to be Shemaya. The Prima Gredin, maybe, is that set. We should do it for the Prima Gredin. But I find it's specific. Maybe if I know what bracha you're saying, even though I don't hear the word, I say it's noisy or whatever, I can't hear. Well, let's say something on this. I know what the word that you're saying. I know what you're going to say to the city. But I see that when you finish, because I see when you finish, and then I say Amen, so maybe I'm like, he doesn't have to say how we are. No, just keep going to the room. No. And he has to be, as long as it's obvious what he means, then there's no need to say how we are. It is better to be good. A brother, you started by the rabbi, and you say, Shemaya Kohen, it's like Kiddush. Kiddush is also. If I walk out in the street and someone else will say Kiddush at home and I won't hear, I won't fulfill the mitzvah, I can't perform the Shemaya. But if I'm here and I hear, then you say, Shemaya Kohen, it's considered as if I myself have decided the Kiddush,
If you find yourself having $500, you too. The rabbi recites the Bracha B'richa Seirusin, and the chassan hears it, and he's participating in the reciting of the Bracha by listening. But whoever listens to the Bracha and pays attention is considered Shemei Akira'ina, as if he himself had recited the Bracha. Yep, because he has intention to be Motzini. Okay, so I'm not shaking the ruler, and he says the Bracha I'd like for himself, he doesn't want to be Motzini. Then you don't say Shemei Akira'ina. It matters, they only allow Shemei Akira'ina. It only applies when the one who is blowing shofar, the one who is reciting the Kiddush of the Hamdala, has me in mind. But if he's doing his mitzvah on his own and he doesn't have intention to be more to me, then he doesn't know. But the result is he has blown the shul, he has in mind whoever hears him. Whether they're in shul or not. But it's only shofar, let's say somebody goes to the hospital to blow for one chayla, and then there's somebody religious in the next room and they happen to hear it, see it, but the dinner is then it's no good, they're not going to play, because the father can't have a mind, one specific test.
The
reading of the Sudha is not a ceremony, that's just a form of station identification, it's just a hexagon. In order to waste time, and the longer the people can waste time in between, it's better. Because Rashi poses that Kasha, Rashi had been a time for that Kasha, that the rabbi said, what's that weapon? And then he said, there's a solution, and how can Kala have a sip of water? So he had to take a letter, the rabbi said, what's the bad problem? You give him again a sip of water, what are you saying about the bad problem? We just said a book, a half a minute before. Just an hour after meeting, how much time left between, before that? Then you have a drink of wine, a drink of water, then you wait for half an hour. And you're ready when the fear starts, you're not thinking about eating or drinking, then you decide again you want to have a drink, and you got to say another block. So the judge said, both are both and a half minute ago, let me say, both are another block, both are both. So the time of the tomorrow, this never was a problem. There would be a year in between, a half a year, they had to be a Thursday now. And then they went shopping for furniture, and they got an apartment, they got a job, and whatever, and clothing. And then it happened, you see, when a year later, a half a year later. But today, when we have one after the other, so Rashi started with the problem, why do you have to say a bracha about them? So Rashi and the Rabbi Nisam instituted, you should read the Ksuba. Morgan Avram says, in Shulchan Aruch, Morgan Avram says that when you recite a bracha, right before you do a mitzvah, you're not supposed to pull, or you're not supposed to be mocked if you do the bracha on the mitzvah. You should say the bracha and right away do the mitzvah. So we have the Birchas Nisum. No, it's not like putting down the cup. No, that's in the middle. That's part of the Havdalah. The smelling of the sun is the Havdalah. That is the Takana Sahamim. That you have to smell the sun. So whatever is necessary in order to say the Bar Nirei Ha'Eish, in order to say the Bar Nirei Tzimtzum, that's all part of the Havdalah. That's not a Havdalah. But whatever the Havdalah would have to stock, it would be a Havdalah. So here is the problem, the Chacham on the Sakein, that we should recite the Birchas Nisun, and then right after the Birchas Nisun, we should have react the ceremony of Nisun. So what constitutes the ceremony of Nisun? So we talk to Allah about the standing under the canopy, the standing under the hoop. So upon the way we do it, everything is okay. The rabbi says the Birchas Nisun, and then they're standing under the canopy the whole time. So the second, as he's saying the Birchas, right after he finishes, they're already doing the mitzvah of Nisun. However, the Rambam's opinion is that the Yichud is the Nisun. So when the Rabbi says the Birchas Nisun, the Chasam Kala should go immediately into the Yichud room following the Bracha. So the Magen Avraham comments in Shulchan Aruch, and it's not proper, the Magen Avraham is by saying Brachas on food. He has a comment over there. He says it's not proper to have any Hatzokah in between the completion of the Birchas Nisun and the going to the Yichud room. So that's the problem, is the Rabbanim. The Ikra Din, we don't pass like the Rana. We pass them as an Nisun consists of standing under the canopy. So quite strictly speaking, we do everything fine. But we are Machel of Hatzchila. Everybody knows we always have, most weddings, they have a Yichud right after the Chuppah. So fulfill the Rambam's opinion. So the Magen Avraham says, if you do it, you may as well do it right. The Magen Avraham says, look and tell us again that you should not have any Hatzokah in between the completion of the Birchas Nisun and going into the Yichud. So forget, when the Rabbi says, turn in after the whole ceremony is over, it's not after. According to the Rambam's opinion, it's right in the middle. It's in between the Birchas Nisun and the Yichud. It's not Mishnah Hefzi. But that's why it's better, that's how many Rabbans feel that it's better to have the Rabbi speak in between the Eretz and the Nisun. Rida Minha that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, the Mordechai Nagon quotes in the Shabbat, in the Shabbat of Sadir, it's a Minha, that although when the husband makes kiddush, he gives the wine to all of the members of the household, the wife drinks and the children drink, by Havdalah, they call it meaning that men, women shouldn't drink from Havdalah. Yeah, that's in Yiddish folk, well, they say that's appropriate. This is Zalman explained, he thinks we have a logical reason of the halacha. Not kabbalah, you don't have to give any kabbalah. He has a simple reason of the halacha why the women shouldn't be allowed to drink the wine of Havdalah. So he says, there is a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch for the women on the chiyuv in Havdalah. Kiddush, it notices explicitly both men and women are equally in the chiyuv. The women are just as chiyuv as the men. But Havdalah is a big debate in the talk in the Shulchan Aruch for the women on the chiyuv in the chiyuv. So because of this machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch says that a woman should always avoid reciting Havdalah on her own. She should always try to listen to Havdalah from a man. And the man should, if we say the husband, if the husband is a chazan in the shul, he said Havdalah in shul, the husband, when he comes home, shouldn't recite her. He should avoid reciting Havdalah only to his wife. Unless he has some men also who haven't fulfilled Havdalah yet, haven't heard Havdalah. But to recite Havdalah only on behalf of a woman, I was ready yet. I'm going to come home and say Havdalah, that's my wife. And according to some parts of the women, I come from Havdalah. So what am I saying about her for the woman? She doesn't even need it. I don't need Havdalah, I said in shul. She doesn't need Havdalah, she's not a chiyuv. So what am I saying about her about? So the real thing is that women are chiyuv. That's how we pass. Women are chiyuv. But it's only showing up. And whenever possible, you should be machmir to treat it as if they're not chiyuv. So the women should always try to hear Havdalah from a man who is reciting Havdalah for himself, and she should listen along. So this is Alan pointed out why you have a problem. Whenever a man recites Havdalah, the first brother he sings word to Havdalah. And then he says, well, I'm Havdalah. He says, by me, it's son, by me, and then he says, the brother of Havdalah. And then you finally get to drink the wine at the very end. What's going on here? He says, right there, brother from the beginning, you don't get to drink until you recite the letter, he brought it. Doesn't this constitute a hafsakir? Isn't it a hafsik? Our fellow says the bracha before he's about to drink a cup of wine, and he gives the whole Gettysburg address before he gets to drink the wine, the hafsik. So the answer is, that was a takhama. The takhama was a sakir, that that's the way you should recite Havdalah. First they brought their coffee, and then he said the other bracha, and then drink the wine. So that's the takhama takhama was a rasha. What happened to that? Hey, no, we're going to hang on, the takhama made a takhama. And that often, that you should say about their coffee first, and get to drink it afterwards, after all the bracha. But if women are not mukhiyyiv and Havdalah, the woman is not mukhiyyiv and Havdalah. So she listened to the first bracha her husband said, she said, oh man, I didn't come well. She said, only 3 minutes ago. Since that omen that she said on the wine, she's already said another 3 omen, I'm going to be the son, and I'm going to be the Arihoresh, and I'm omen after the Havdalah. And if they're not mukhiyyiv in any of them ad, so everything is a long hafsaka. So she said omen 3 minutes ago after the wine, she said another omen again, and another omen, and another omen, and she was waiting so long, taha hafsik. So this is omen said, that since the Shulchan Aruch says we should be machmir, for those shittas, we should always try to be cautious for those shittas that women are not mukhiyyiv in Havdalah, and if they're not mukhiyiv in Havdalah, then all the yomim that they say, and all the clothing that they wear, they're ethnic, but that's why I'll be nigla, that's why I'll be halacha for the women should not drink in a kosher Havdalah. Because all the entering of women, all the clothing would constitute there. Strictly speaking, we pass the women are mukhiyyiv in Havdalah, so it wouldn't be ethnic for the women. But since the Shulchan Aruch says we should always be cautious for those opinions that women are not mukhiyyiv in Havdalah, the whole issue there again, because that's why the women shouldn't be allowed to drink from Havdalah because of the shame of Havdalah. That's what they quote in the name of Abish as well now. So Rav Shlira Kochman is the kind of Rav, the one who just passed away, Rav Aaron Kochman's son, he didn't bring some of Abish as well now. So he had a comment, he said, that according to this Shiloh that the Nerd of Yehuda raised, the Nerd of Yehuda had a Shiloh when the rabbi said that Birch HaSeinistin is the only thing on behalf of the Chosin, or is he signing the blood on behalf of the Chosin on the cow? That was his question. So we pointed out, well, according to the Rambam's opinion, the Birch HaSeinistin is both equally for the Chosin and for the cow. And if the Chosin is dead, then the rabbi can recite the blood on behalf of the cow. She'll say, I'm going to do it. Whereas according to the Ram, the mitzvah really is only on the chosin, and if the chosin is left, the rabbi shouldn't say the bracha on the rest of the kala. It's not our bracha, it's only the chosin's bracha. that this is the Shriya Kaka pointed out, that he used to wonder, how come the common practices that under the canopy, you give a drink to the chassan and to the kala. He said, what's going on here? First the rabbi says, baruch hu ha-gofen. The kala says, I'm named, but you don't give it a drink right away. Then the rabbi says, I want to get broken. She can show himself and say, what am I? Then the chassan says, how are you? I'm a kudeshis. So as far as the chassan is concerned, none of this is an ethnic classic to chachamim. The chachamim said, that's the way you have to do it. First they broke your gofen, and then you say the Birchas Erusin, and then you say the Hariyat, and give over the ring, and then you get to drink the wine. After you finish all the business, then you get to drink the wine. But as far as the Kala is concerned, if one should assume those opinion of the Ram,
yeah,
that the Kala doesn't have any mitzvah of marriage, the mitzvah is only on the Chavim, and the Kala doesn't have the mitzvah of exciting the Birchas Erusin at all. As far as the Kala is concerned, the block of Birchas Erusin should be a hexic. So he was wondering, how come out now, why do we let the Kala drink the wine? If his grandfather is really right, but that's why we don't allow the women to drink in the Chesham of Delvet. Because the Chesham did everything after the God has a head to
do.
That's the question.
She
has the Siyuah, right. Siyuah. But the Siyuah doesn't make a bracha. You don't see a bracha because of the Siyuah. Fine, but look, but the Birchas Erusin doesn't belong to it, only belongs to the Chassan. That's the common practice of the Chassan picks out the rabbi to say the Siddur Kedushin. If the common practice is like Iran, that's the women have to say. That's the Jewish of the world. The question is, there a tafarim tafarim that she has to be sent to Havdola on a coat? Does she have to hear Havdola on wine? We're passing the women on the even Havdola. She says they're on Havdola. She says they're on Havdola. Strictly speaking, we're passing the women on the even. She drinks the wine. Then she will even Havdola, she drinks the wine, and it's okay, there's nothing wrong. But whenever possible, we avoid having a woman recite her own Abdullah because of the Hashash of Rahul Abdullah. Because there is one opinion, there are opinions that women are not afraid of an Abdullah. And if they're not afraid, then the Shulchan Aruch goes further and says that they shouldn't be allowed to recite Abdullah. So that's why we always recommend the women should avoid reciting the Abdullah. Yeah, definitely they have to recite Abdullah. Abdullah. Yeah. Abdullah. Yeah. Abdullah. 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 Abdullah.
Abdullah. Abdullah. I mean, what the woman could be is that should be over Shabbos. I mean, that'd be, it's logic already. That's why we usually would make the
There's a mitzvah in the Rabbanan that in addition to reciting the Havdalah and the Davin, you have to come on Tavah, you should also recite the Havdalah on Tavah. You should say Havdalah twice. The women should talk and say Baruch HaMavdah. A lot of times the husband comes out to show his wife and he's ready to go on the telephone, the lights are on, she's washing the dishes and everything. So the women are supposed to either Gatman Havdalah. My mother used to say Gatman Havdalah. You were sad. Shabbat, we say Gatman Havdalah. My mother used to say Baruch HaMavdah. He Baruch HaMavdah in Kaddish Lachon. It is the most comment on the Mishnah. The reason why the Mishnah spells out separately, the Mishnah kind of spoke, although the main theme of the Parak over here, the main theme of this Mishnah is the teaching of the principle of Shluchah, Shaman, and Kimosa, that if I return to an agent to do the tradition on my behalf, or if the girl returns to an agent, the Shluchah to do the tradition on her behalf, the tradition will be valid, just the validity of the marriage, that it's Chal, takes the fact. But there are God, the Mishnah also says that Bo'u Bishlucha, and Mahakil, he should do the Kiddushin himself. This is the Bo'u Yoikim and Bishlucha. Then he might quote, as we know from another instance, Kihoi, the following case, the Rav Safra Mahdrech Reisha, Rav Safra used to cook part of the food for Shabbos. His wife, they were cooking, he used to learn the Beit Meis, that's what they cook. But on our Shabbos, that's all we've lost. There's no mystery to prepare the food. There's no mystery to eat it. You want to eat, okay. There's no mystery to cook the food. But it comes there, Shabbat, and it's ended up getting a mitzvah to prepare the food. Even though he let his wife prepare all the food, but he prepared a little bit. He was not a chesha. He was drilled the head of the animal. And Rabbi Malach Shibuta, and Rabbi also, when it came to preparation for Shabbat, he would source one piece of fish. The rest of the food, the chicken, the liver, and everything else, right? So he would prepare one piece of food that was going to eat on Shabbat, because Mr. Boy dressed him in the shlucha. Why didn't he prepare the whole meal? How come he was going to the loose pickle fish? One piece of herring, he sold it. So the Prima Gordon says, well, I love for that. Mitzvah by the Mitzvah Shulah, that doesn't mean that you have to do the whole Mitzvah made of Greek for the Hebrew Mitzvah. You should do at least part of the Mitzvah. He says that to him because the Greek has come. That Mitzvah by the Mitzvah Shulah, you should really be ready to come and serve on your own. If you can't, then you'll find someone else to be ready to come and serve you. But in order to be the kind of Hebrew Mitzvah, this man is Mitzvah Shulah, you have to be ready to every single room of the house. As long as you recite the Bible, you pray with one woman, you have the children, and your wife, and friends, and then you pray with the rest of the room. And that's on Mitzvah Bar Yez Mishnah, as long as you do part of the Mitzvah. And the same is true regarding, let's say, the Mitzvah of the Mahatma Mosmed Ben Eichem, the Torah of the Mitzvah. Every Jewish father should teach his children Torah. So you have to make a living, how can you teach his children Torah? So we send our children to the yeshivas. But Mitzvah Bar Yez Mishnah, the Mitzvah that you should do, the Mahatma you should do it yourself, you shouldn't have them allowed to teach your children. So the thing is that every father should teach his children a little bit on Shabbos, on Sunday, in the evening. They should teach his children a little bit and then let them ready, do the rest. So the father is also the kind of mitzvah you have to be sure about the mitzvah from a thousand he teaches the kid. But the father doesn't teach the child anything, he just pays the money and sends the kid to the yeshiva and never educates the child at all. He's fulfilling his mitzvah of educating the mountainous with Nechem Ha'idei Shliach, but he's lacking, he's missing this mitzvah, you have to be sure. And the Chachzimah, this is a mitzvah, this is the Hebrew mitzvah, but it says in all the mitzvahs of Torah. If the mitzvah needs to be mitzvah, says the mitzvah, on your own. That's what they have now, a new style in a lot of yeshivas. Here's the goal, to do a big mitzvah, you gotta know what you're doing, you gotta be a model. You have to know, either you know or you don't know. You don't know, then you don't begin to do it. Now they have all kinds of gadgets, that it's possible for the Abi Aben, the father of the baby, to begin to do part of the mitzvah of the Hillel, to start the child with no, even if he's a moron, he won't injure the baby, and then to give over the rest to the mother to do the rest of the job. So some people say, well, if you're the says, mitzvah that you have to do the shluchah, that doesn't mean you have to do the whole thing. As long as you begin to do part of the mitzvah, it's also mitzvah that you have to do the shluchah. And a lot of yeshivas, that's the way to send that, that they engage a moral who will be nice enough to show them how they can begin to do the beginning of the cut, and the mitzvah Nilo, and they'll fulfill it without knowing how to be a moral, they'll fulfill the mitzvah Nilo as Nibishu. It's a question if it's correct or not. You see, if I'm Beirut Chomet, I have 20 rooms in my apartment. So if I'm Beirut Chomet in one room, then I say, well, I did a partial mitzvah Nilo as Nibishu, I did part of it. If I teach my kid on Shabbos, I teach them 5 to conclusions, and 1 dish to whatever, but at least I taught him something. I completed 1 unit. I want the kids to learn more than 5 to and 1 dish, for the rest of everybody, then I do a little bit. But if I just cut a little bit, and that absolutely has no role at all to do at all, the child is just as much an old man as he was before, then that's the question whether the people Bevan's statement that all you have to do is a mixed-up, and you have fulfilled the seed of Mitzvah by Yosef Mishnuchah, that's the question that we apply there. Maybe you haven't even done a mitzvah.
What about a mitzvah, like
the Rebbe Yehuda or the Rebbe Yehuda? Yeah, then you don't say Mitzvah. And how honest it doesn't apply.
By doing
the mitzvah,
you said
that
in
the... No, you have to do the mitzvah. You do a mitzvah. You have to, and it's like depending on tzach, within it, if you put on a tzachachachachach tzach, so if you did this, it's considered already an ohel. Right. The sukkah is not kosher, so you have 7 by 7 tzachim of tzach. But if you have a tzachachachachach tzach, that's already called an ohel, it's called a tzilach of tzach. But if you put less than a tzachachachachach tzach, they just put in one nail, banging one nail on the wall. I don't imagine that the people are going to say that you are fulfilled a mitzvah by Yosef Mishnuchah by putting in one nail, by carrying one piece of stuff. It's nothing.
If I thought it wasn't good in the cloth, I didn't shave,
The only question is, when I cut, when I begin to cut the first bit, have I done even a mitzvah?
of the mitzvah. That's the question. That's the hachlana shenit suit up there. It's a ghost. It's not just like diamond eyes. It's like, yeah, maybe he's just as much an all-now as he was before. So that's another clause. Ain't a mitzvah nikkas al-shen drama, that's another clause. But if you do a mixed process of the mitzvah, so you also have this clause, this is where you're going to be shluchah. The question is whether this is even called a mitzvah. And he just begins to tell us, it isn't called a mikvah. Maybe you have to have a shiur for a mikvah.
But the question is, the father just does a little bit. And then he absolutely doesn't lift the finger in. And then the mother does all the rest. So what the father did is manage nothing. Like he didn't place no role at all. Can you even call that a mikvah? There's between the brothers why apply that this is considered that he does, that he did even a mikvah of the list of royals in the shulman. That's the question. The question is here preparing for Shabbos. What's the mitzvah of preparing for Shabbos? Mitzvah to eat the food on Shabbos. I mean, Shabbos. Mitzvah to eat the Shabbos, eat the food. It's a mitzvah to cook the Shabbos.
What is the role of dressing in the Shabbos?
What's over here? Why the Gemara says over here that it's a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos. What's the mitzvah to prepare for
Shabbos?
So just the Hashem mitzvah, Shein Eksimu Bataya. That's the Shabbos. So the Vilna Goyen, comments in Shulchan Aruch, he says, we know that there are two mitzvahs on Shabbos with Divrei Kabbalah. The Pasuk in Yeshayah says that there's a mitzvah of Kibud and a mitzvah of Oneg. You have to enjoy Shabbos, only going to be for the Mechamed Shabbos, to honor the day of Shabbos. What does it mean Kibbutz? What does it mean Omer? In the past, Kim had a whole question about this. How does one define Kibbutz as opposed to Omer? Because the other Hashem claims that Omer are the physical pleasures that one has on Shabbos, eating the food and so on. And Kibbutz is the fact that there is a Shabbos atmosphere, that the house is lit up and clean at night. That's called Kibbutz as opposed to Omer, which are more physical enjoyment of Shabbos. The Zohar Goyim, the Zohar Goyim gives a different definition. He says that Oneg means the enjoyment on Shabbos around Yom Kippur. And Kibbutz means the Hachan is done in advance of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So that, according to the Zohar Goyim, this Gemara makes very good sense. The preparations done in advance of Shabbos are not merely a Hesher Mitzvah. Shein Eksimah, it's not just that if you just don't cook the challah on Friday, you're not going to have anything to eat on Shabbos. No! The preparation of the food on Erev Shabbos and on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah b'nei atzmo. It's Yitzhak Kibbutz Shabbos. The eating the food on Shabbos and enjoying the lit candles on Shabbos is the mitzvah wedding. And the lighting of the candles on Friday and the cooking of the food and cleaning of the house and taking the bath, that's all of Yitzhak Kibbutz. It's a mitzvah of Merakim. Not just a Hashem. So that's the Gemara comment on this.
So maybe you cannot really be right in that part of the mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos in advance. Maybe that was an extra favor. If they won't prepare, the one will melt and the sun, they won't have anything to eat on Shabbos. So the answer is that is the question. That's the correct answer, because the pasuk in Yeshayah that tells us the mitzvah of Kibbutz reinforces that pasuk. The pasuk in Yeshayah tells us that the pasuk in the Torah, that the chinuch kashir of you is a mitzvah of Doros, not just for a rosh shor. That when they were traveling in the desert during that 4 years, they better prepare the one in advance. And this even throughout all the future generations that what preparation should be done in investment. That's why the posting point down that on Shabbos it's obvious that you have to bench first before Shabbos because after the sun sets on Friday, you have to minister the money malachas. You have to minister light the candle. But on Yom Kippur, there is really no malacha involved in lighting the candle. It's a malacha that is predictable. If it's dark in the house and you have a light, the light burning. You want to light your candles and you're ready to do some light, so it's permissible to light candles on Yom Kippur. Is it necessary on Erev Yom Kippur to bench lift to light the candles 18 minutes before the Shkia? Is it necessary to bench lift in advance? So the question said yes, but the prophet said is that it's an attempted work as a children to Yitzhak.
where he explains that the mitzvah to ben shlich in advance not only applies to Shabbos, because on Shabbos, if Tavi is not permitted to do the melachos, on Yom Tov as well. Why? Because enjoying the light, the lirach palace on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that donates. But the mitzvah of kibbutz to do as many preparations as possible in advance. The mitzvah of kibbutz is, v'ayah v'ayom ha'shishi v'echinu et ha'shivir, to make all the hachonet to bel yom. So that's why this is what Pettenberg is saying, and it's true, but if the mitzvah is on Erev Yom Tov, also one should benchlist in advance. If the woman should got the benchlist on Erev Yom Tov, then you're right, you can't have one Yom Tov. So if you have 2 days Yom Tov, we are living with Chutzlein, have 2 days Yom Tov. So the second day Yom Tov, you're not allowed. If you're not the minister, then like you can't have you have to wait until the rest of the same time. You have to wait until the rest of that. That's where you have an hour to these things, so you're like you can't. But on the first day Yom Tov, the proper thing is always to do that Shabbos, to light the candles in advance of the Yom Tov, to gain...
You shouldn't wait for the Shabbos.
You shouldn't
have to wait for the
Shabbos. You should not wait. You should light 18 minutes in advance. You should always light in advance. Right. Just like on Erev Shabbos, you light in advance. And then Erev Yom Tov as well, the proper thing is to light the candles in advance. That's another thing, right? Even let's say, even if the woman wants to bench this when her husband comes home, on Yom Tov, huh? She doesn't want to follow this one in Petersburg. But still, the proper thing is that everybody should be in the Kabbalah Yom Tov for both Yom Tov, and it's for service Yom Tov. I'll just close with a short comment on the pasuk in this, on one pasuk in this week's schedule. The Torah tells us about the war between the five kings and the four kings, and the four kings defeated the five, and they took all of their property. And then Avraham Avinu went to save his nephew, who was living in Sodom. Lot was the nephew of Avraham, went to save them, and he conquered the four kings, and he took over all the property, all the territory. So the Torah says, Malchitzedek Marashalei, Hoytu Rechem Vayayim, Vuhu Chorim Ve'elayim, Malchitzedek, where they had a Kohen. What kind of Kohen was he? It's a shame in there. It was a yeshiva. Shame there, but this was shame. How should go to the Nebbi? Gracious love and the Gemara. If you take another shot in this shame, he was a famous man. He had a big yeshiva. Yeshiva Shem Yehem. So tell me what time he was a Kohen. What kind of Kohen? We know the Kohen. I'm in the Kohen. I'm in the Bala, generations later. So the Gemara comments in the Dorian, tells me, because the Gemara is in the Dorian, that it says, who Kohen? Who Kohen? The Eindara Kohen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted this fellow Shane, Ben Noach was a prominent figure. His father was Melech HaTzadik, he must be somebody great, he had this big yeshiva. Really HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Kohuna to come from Shane, Ben Noach, from Malchitzedek. But he did something that was so improper, because of that he lost the opportunity of having the Kohuna go over to his children. What's the great? And after the person says, who Kohen Lo Adon? He was a Kohen, and on this occasion he lost the Kohuna from his children. Who Kohen Lo Adon? The children are no longer going to be called. What did he do that was so terrible? The passage continues, by Rachel is on Roma. When he met Avram after defeating the four kings, Avram did a big mitzvah. He stopped the terrorists over there. So Matthew said, he didn't have to go to the door. Baruch Avram and Shea, your commission on the earth. He thanks that design, he didn't have to go to your wonderful God should bless you. And then he says in the next passage, and blessed be the Lord above, that he helped you in fighting the battle. Baruch Shea, your commission on the earth. Let it be assured that he helped him fight in the war. So Avraham Avinu said, Shaita, what kind of a bracha? First you give me the bracha, then you give the Eish to the bracha. It's worth to say Sakher. It's not proper to be mocked. To first give the bracha to the Eved, and then give the bracha to the Rav. So the Gemara says that because of this Avraham that he did, that first he gave the bracha to Hashem, first he gave the bracha to the bracha to Avraham Avinu, and then he followed by giving the bracha to Hashem, so that's why he lost Kehuna from his children. That's the medrash in Agadatus at the Gemara. So based on this Agadatus, that many Gedolim have pointed out that when you make a toast, you make a chayim, so usually when you say the chayim, my God, you didn't show blessings to the other person, then you say shachar mit zvorei, over the schnapps, the vodka, over the champagne, or the wine, and then you drink it. What you're doing is exactly what Malki said. First you give a bracha to the hedya, the chayim, and now the seven nachas, and then you have a toast. And then you say the bracha, saying by the Torah, and go to our bracha, and shachar mit zvorei. So the Pasuk points out, many Gedolim pointed out that it's not the proper thing. The proper thing is first to say the bracha, then to take a sip, to drink a little bit, and after having recited the bracha, to Hashem Yisbarah, then to give the bracha to the Baruch Hu. So we were once sitting by a sea in the sister,
So one of the Rabbanim was explaining this to the Balabatim, who was participating, so he explained that for a good right, first you have to say the Baruch HaShem Yitzhar, and then you take a sip, and then you say the Rakhayim. So one of the Balabatim didn't fully understand what he said. So he said, okay, he took the Kabbash Yitzhar, Mary Zisha, he took the Kabbash Yitzhar, and he said, Baruch HaShem, and he said, Rakhayim, Mam Tareh, and then he drank it. No, that's great. That's a din of hefzer. That's a din of hefzer. What the Torah can say, you want to do it right, you want to do it in... to say the bracha, to take a little sip, and then to give the bracha to the boss of
the house.